just shoot them ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Kenyard Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll discuss the Trump administration's Israeli-Palestinian peace plan, but first, the Super Bowl and the demeaning way the NFL treats women. It could hardly be worse. No, it could be worse. Paying them money to act like pigs. The NFL is a meat market for scantily clad women acting like pigs. Now, I wouldn't know firsthand because at our home, Cheryl made the pigs in the blanket and the jalapeno poppers and, you know, all that great stuff. We watched the Super Bowl with a few of our teenage sons and one of their friends. And so, of course, we're not going to watch the halftime show. And we watched, I imagine, less than half of the commercials. You know, being careful. You know, garbage in, garbage out. You disrespect women in what you watch, and you'll disrespect them in your life. Glenn Beck, today on the radio, I'm headed into the studio, and he's basically complaining that he had to watch every minute of that halftime show. What an idiot. He and his co-host, they're talking about the women being virtual strippers, filthy pantomimers. You know, I think about Peyton Manning when he mentions his favorite HBO or Showtime program. He doesn't realize that he's admitting to the public that he has a problem with pornography. He doesn't realize that because these are porns, adult porn services. That's what they've become. That's what much of the streaming world has become. And entertainment, Hollywood entertainment. In fact, here in Denver, over on KHAL Radio, they got Russ Kaminsky. I'd avoid that program like the plague. Apparently, the only advertising they're taking is from what they refer to as ED treatment centers, men suffering from sexual dysfunction. Now, I used to think that they run so many ED ads, I used to think that they attracted men who are dysfunctional in that way. Now I think their program causes men to be dysfunctional. I mean, how could it be that they run that many ads? Oh, I get it. It's because, like Mike Rosen, who's been on KOA Radio for decades, Mike Rosen would brag about the high quality pornography that's available on the internet. It's like you can't believe your ears. And of course, the ED epidemic is a result of the mass addiction of pornography. And Peter Boyles would have in studio interviewing, I now recall if it's prostitutes or strippers, one or the other. And, you know, and having a wonderful time. What a great career you ladies have. And so this is the culture that we live in, and it is so utterly despicable, so utterly despicable. So before we get to Trump's Middle East peace plan, real quickly, I've mentioned that I've been quoted in the past couple weeks in the Denver Post, 5280 magazine. I want to go over those, but it was the quote that was unsolicited that I left as a comment at the Hollywood Reporter's website that they then removed. For what reason? I don't know. But it says this, and we want to somehow work to burn this into the conscience of the culture. Hollywood will never respect women off camera until they respect them on camera. Hollywood will never respect women off camera until they respect them on camera. Just like Hillary Clinton set back the cause of women a century, right? Early in her career, this is on video, an interview with her. She is laughing, joking about a rapist, a convicted rapist, who she helped from a technicality basically get away with the crime. And how much fun that was, because she's a lawyer, you know, and that was a success. And Jennifer Lopez. And what did they pay her yesterday to make millions of men think of women like nothing more than meat in a market? How much was it worth it to her? Well, she thinks of herself that way anyway. So why would she care if men think of other women or all women that way? Why would she care? And why would the NFL care? They obviously don't care the way they treat women. And when you see reported the Harvey Weinstein trial in New York City, the women who've taken the stand there, and as reported, there's not a camera in the courtroom, but that it's through tears how they recount the horror of what they experienced. And you think, well, yeah, but didn't they invite this pervert into their hotel room? Didn't they go into his hotel room? Didn't they? Weren't they trying to get a job from this pervert and so on? And these things are all true. So the women themselves who are in this, people who are against the Me Too movement, I think very foolishly, because it's the most significant proper moral outrage that the nation has experienced, I think, in my lifetime, where we've taken a step toward. Now, the NFL took us a big step backward yesterday, but we've taken a step toward making it unacceptable for men to mistreat women sexually. We've taken a big step in that direction. Well, these women who are in Hollywood trying to get roles in films, they not only are participants, but they're also audience members. And so they've been conditioned too by the Hollywood work product. And they've seen, however many times, 100 times, 500 times, 1,000 times on television or in film, they've seen women being mistreated, disrespected by men, hired for their sexuality like the NFL does. And they are gradually conditioned to think, well, that's what's expected of them. That's what they're going to have to do in order to succeed. And that doesn't mean when the moment arrives and they're holding back tears, they're saying no, no, they're trying to get away, and Harvey Weinstein forces himself on these women. That doesn't mean it's not rape. No, not at all. But they've gotten themselves in these circumstances because their guard, they're their own last line of defense. And they've been taught to throw away their defenses. And even after the fact, afterward, when they're still in the industry and they still want that next job from the Weinstein company, and so they continue a relationship, and they undoubtedly think at some level, and this is before the Me Too movement really broke out, but at some level, they probably have told themselves, trying to come to terms with what happened, that they deserved it, or that was the price they had to pay to get a job. And that's what the left, that's what Hollywood, that's what liberals make of women. They turn them into commodities. They objectify them. That's one reason that Christianity practically exploded at the time of the Roman Empire, because in Rome and throughout the regions of their influence, women, their word meant nothing in a legal setting, in a trial, as a witness. They were more like property, where the Bible, the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ, that God made us male and female, and Jew and Gentile, male and female, in Christ, we all have inestimable, eternal value and worth, and that a man and a husband should be willing to give his life for his wife, just as Christ gave his life for the church. So, you know, Christianity just took off in that context. But now that sexual predators are being targeted by the Me Too movement, Christians are concerned about two people, Judge Roy Moore and Donald Trump, and they turn against the whole Me Too movement. It's so bizarre. It's absolutely absurd. So the NFL, they're trying to compete with Hillary Clinton to see who could destroy the integrity of a woman further. Who could destroy a woman's own self-respect? Imagine the women in the living rooms of 100 million households yesterday watching this with their husbands, pervert husbands, and watching this with their teenage sons. Stupid as could be. But lay the blame at the feet of the NFL and at the fathers and the men who allow this to be broadcast in their living rooms, and at the people like Glenn Beck and Peyton Manning and on and on and on. Forget about the Peter Boyles and Russ Kaminskis. They're like the Typhoid Marys of ED. So this battle to treat women with dignity and to enable them to have self-respect that actually means something, it's a battle that Christians should be leading, but I'm afraid that too many pastors in the pulpit and too many on Christian radio and TV are themselves addicted to the porn that they get from their subscription services. And so how could they say anything about it? Because their wives and kids and friends would know that they're just hypocrites. So they say nothing. Okay. A couple quotes. So the one quote that was unsolicited that I commented in an article in the Hollywood Reporter, that was removed, that Hollywood will never respect women off camera until they respect them on camera. But then we go to Denver's 5280 magazine. That's for the sophisticated lifestyle. If somebody wants to know who's the best plastic surgeon in Denver, that idea. So 5280 magazine, it's been around forever at all the grocery store checkout lanes. So they do this article about Colorado's abortion industry promoting child killing through billboards. And they put this billboard, we've talked about it, out by Grand Junction near Utah, western Colorado, you know, welcome to Colorado where you can get an abortion, basically. And so the day that sign came down when their contract expired, hours went up, and our billboard showed a beautiful baby in the womb, and it said humanrightsforall.us, and that's a domain name that goes to Colorado Right to Life's beautiful website. So the reporter for 5280 magazine, Jay Bouchard, calls Colorado Right to Life and asks if they could interview somebody. I was available for their article that ran in the January 22nd, 2020 edition on Colorado's billboards and especially their abortion billboards. So they mentioned that the Washington Post had a column that actually criticized the abortion industry for putting a pro-abortion ad up on a billboard. That's surprising in the Washington Post. And then the reporter says, but the Washington Post columnist wasn't the only one put off by the billboard. Bob Enyart, and I'll just read, Bob Enyart is a pastor at Denver Bible Church, a radio talk show host, and a spokesperson for Colorado Right to Life, which works to end abortion. Enyart viewed the billboard as immoral, a campaign endorsing murder. And here's a quote. Whatever means people use to advocate dismembering unborn children, it's criminal, Enyart says. Thinking back to when he first saw the billboard, it truly is criminal regardless of whether society looks the other way. It's the same thing with the NFL and women selling their bodies to the NFL for millions and to the nation for publicity. It's so despicable. With Michael Jackson, if you recall, the whole world sees him in the NFL halftime show, grabbing himself with children on stage all around. Nobody says a single thing about it. That's my recollection. Nobody. Pastors, Christian leaders. It was just accepted because it was that homosexual child molester, Michael Jackson. And now you have Jennifer Lopez basically mimicking Michael Jackson in another NFL halftime show. Could you imagine Roger Goodell on Judgment Day when this hits him like a right hook out of nowhere? Like, what in the world? He has no idea what he'll be facing. Jesus said, those who are not forgiven by God for trusting in him, his death and resurrection, Jesus said, they're not going to only be judged for the wicked things they do. They will even be judged for their idle thoughts. Their idle thoughts. So how about their wicked thoughts? So regardless of whether the NFL or our Christian culture views what happened yesterday as despicable, it was not only despicable, it's also criminal. The same thing about advertising to slaughter children on a billboard. It's criminal. When the Germans killed the Jews, it was criminal. It didn't matter that the society thought it wasn't criminal. It was criminal. Enyart is no stranger to controversial anti-abortion messaging. In 2008, when the Democratic National Convention came to Denver, he led a project that placed one of the world's largest protest signs on North Table Mountain. Now, wait a minute. I got to dispute that. It was the world's largest protest sign. It wasn't one of the world's large. It was the world's largest protest sign. The sign, made of sewed together white sheets. Now, the reporter put in white paper sheets. They weren't paper sheets. People, when they can't fathom the immensity of a project, a task, They change it. Like on 9/11, all the reports nationwide were that a small private plane flew into the World Trade Center. You know how many people saw a small private plane fly into the World Trade Center? Zero. But that's how it was reported, because you can't even comprehend that it could be an airliner. You just can't comprehend it. So anyway, no, these were just sheets. They weren't paper sheets. There was 2,400 large bed sheets. Proclaimed that the Democratic National Committee, which was about to nominate Barack Obama for president, and then they show a photo of the sign in 5280, a beautiful photo of the sign. We gave them permission to use it. DNC destroys unborn children. The letters, the DNC letters were painted yellow. Actually, they were dyed yellow. And the dye, we bought it wholesale. It cost over $1,000 just to dye three letters yellow. And then he continues, at 666 feet long, no coincidence, the sign could be seen from at least 7 miles away. It could be read from 10 miles away, seen from 20. So then he goes on to talk about Colorado Right to Life's campaign to combat the pro-abortion billboards that Colorado Right to Life contacted Outfront Media, which leased the original billboard, made plans to rent the same space out by Grand Junction. The day their contract expired, the billboard went up, featuring an image of a 10-week-old fetus in its mother's womb and a URL directing curious parties to the Colorado Right to Life website. Isn't it something he didn't show that image of the baby in humanrightsforall.us? Colorado Right to Life purchased two additional billboards carrying the same message, one downtown Denver, another in Pueblo. And we had our March for Abolition on this past Saturday, right at Planned Parenthood, the abortion mill in Denver. And two blocks from the abortion mill where their customers would drive by, an enormous billboard, enormous, right on the street. You can't avoid seeing it. For all the traffic that goes through there every day, a beautiful baby in the womb photo, humanrightsforall.us. So the reporter asks, well, how much money did you guys spend? And I said, well, over $10,000. But there have been billboards, pro-life billboards, all over the country for decades. Just take a road trip. And you'll see them in any direction out of Denver. Eventually, you'll see billboards saying that every life is precious and don't kill your unborn child. So how many billboards? Thousands over the decades. But did they get their money's worth? This is in the article. Did Colorado Right to Life see a fiscal return in equal magnitude to their liberal counterparts? If we were talking dollars and cents, probably not. But for Colorado Right to Life, that's not the point. Quote, if we save one baby, that's an eternal reward. Enyart said, there's eternal value and worth in every human life. Enyart's team, not my team, but Enyart's team measures impact by the number of women who choose not to terminate their pregnancies, and actually it's terminate the baby, not the pregnancy. You could deliver the baby, have a C-section, you terminate the pregnancy. What they want to do is terminate the baby, not the pregnancy. A figure he admits that is impossible to calculate. All right, so that's 5280 Magazine. Then the Denver Post, an article, can a baby be abused in the womb? So that's the Denver Post, January 20th, 2020. And it's about a case that went to the Colorado Supreme Court. And so I'll skip right to this section. Bob Enyart, a spokesperson for Colorado Right to Life, said he'd be glad to see such prosecutions if a woman was prosecuted for abusing her baby in the womb. That would be awesome, he said. If the mother does drugs and her baby is born with an addiction, that is child abuse. You know, a couple days after that article ran, there was a report by Reuters, and we'll link to this in our show summary today at kgov.com. And it says this, quote, morphine is routinely stocked at neonatal departments to treat the withdrawal symptoms of babies born to mothers who are addicted. That was a few days later. So, yeah, that would be awesome. If a mother does drugs and the baby's born with an addiction, that is child abuse. We need to love our children, not treat them like trash. Colorado Right to Life has long pushed to establish personhood for unborn babies, and the issue has been put to the state's voters three times. Even though those who kill unborn babies commit a felony, now, that's the wording of the Denver Post. You got this? They said those who kill unborn babies. They use that word, babies. That's progress. I mean, in an interview like this, when you keep reminding the reporter that the baby is a person, it just leaks out of them by accident, the truth. Even though those who kill unborn babies commit a felony under the state's unlawful termination statute, Enyart said that law doesn't go far enough. It's as if you killed a man and you were charged with murder, but if you killed a woman, you were charged with a property crime, he said. You can intuitively see the insult and the disgrace to dehumanize a whole sector of our society. So that brings us to Donald Trump's Middle East peace plan. Of course, Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, is Jewish. And interestingly, when this was introduced a week ago, it wasn't only Netanyahu, the more right-wing conservative he's considered, a leader of Israel, but also his liberal opponent, who both endorsed the peace plan. The Arab League and the Palestinians immediately came out against the peace plan. Immediately. This is the fifth time they have been offered a two-state solution, which they said for decades that's what they wanted. And this is the fifth time they've rejected it, although we'll see. Things could change because the Arab states around them are getting tired of the Palestinian intransigence. They're getting tired of it. The Palestinians who live in the West Bank are tired of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The leader of Hamas and the leader of the Palestinian Authority, they haven't been on speaking terms in forever. The initial opposition by the Palestinians might change over time. What's interesting is how Christians will respond to this. And I'm concerned about the Christians who interpret things and analyze things based on their end times framework, their end times interpretation. Christians who love the Lord, they're awesome Christians, but their end times framework has not been valid. They thought the Lord was coming back in the 70s and the 80s. In the 90s and 2000s, and here we are 2020, now they think in the 20s. So if your extremely end times focused friends give you financial advice, for example, right? They give you financial advice, and they give you that advice based on their end times interpretation of the headlines and the scriptures. They gave you that advice during the 70s. Was it properly founded advice for how or whether you should invest your money in what because it was the end times? How about if they gave you that advice during the 80s or during the 90s or 2000s? No, it turns out that all that kind of motivated financial advice was a big mistake. And it did hurt people. I mean, people thought Y2K was the end, you know, that it was heralding in the second coming or something, on a computer book, instead of on a white horse. But the same thing happens when people analyze something like a Middle East peace plan, and they do it from the perspective of their end times prophecy, that framework. And they think about the Bible verse, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and they misuse that verse, and they think, what, should we oppose all peace efforts because of that verse? Should we want every nation to remain in a perpetual state of war? Does it mean that we should want Israel to remain in a perpetual state of war? Of course not. So we have to beware of making our assessments based on our end times prophecy interpretations. Tomorrow, I'd like to get into that a bit more. Some really fascinating particulars. This is Bob Benyart. May God bless you.